All right, let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this blessed privilege that we have to be in your dwelling place, to worship you along with angels, holy angels. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to manifest your presence in our midst, to bless us above measure, and to allow us to understand this message. Erase your main servant and show yourself up that everyone would be blessed and satisfied. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. All right. So I will start my message with this, number 7 and the ordinal seventh. There are 463 occurrences of the word seven in the Bible. But not all of them are significant or meaningful to our message today. And the word seventh occurs 120 times in the Bible. Just some examples. Seventh day, which is found in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Seventh angel, Revelation 10, verse 7. Seventh trumpet, Revelation 8, verse 6. Seventh golden candlestick, Revelation 1, verse 12. Seventh plague, Revelation 15, verses 1 and 8. Seventh year, Leviticus 25, verse 4. Seventh church. Can somebody tell me which church is the seventh one? This one. What is the name of this one? Seventh-day Adventist Church. But what is the name given to that church by the Bible? Laodicea. Okay. Seven spirits. Can somebody tell me who is the seven spirit? The seven spirits represent the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to talk about it, but this is the Holy Spirit. And we have seventh millennium. So we will go through these, some of them, or not even a whole lot of them. So you see day one all the way to day seven. The word seven or seventh is very significant in the Bible. It means completion, or if you want to say completeness, whatever you want to use. As in the 7 days of creation, the seventh day of rest, the seventh year of rest, etc. It has a positive connotation and also a negative connotation sometimes. It all depends on the way we see it. Positive, 7 day Sabbath. Seventh millennium, negative, seven plagues, etc. So, brothers and sisters, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. You see it on the board. Let us read together. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. This is something that every one of us knows about it. We know that God has worked 6 days, and then on the seventh, he stopped working, and he was giving us an example because God does not need rest. It is for us to keep, not for him to keep. For creatures to keep. not for him. Okay? Genesis 2 verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So please remember that the day that God has blessed and sanctified is not Sunday. Do not ever forget it. And please, the Bible does not say that God has rested on a seventh day. The Bible said that God has rested on the seventh day, not a. You cannot choose and pick whichever you want. You need to go by what the Bible says, the example set by God for us to follow. So, let's go. Exodus 20 verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, not of Seventh Day Adventist Church, not of the Jews, not of everybody else. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. Do not allow the Pope or anybody else to tell you that the seventh day or the Sabbath, Saturday Sabbath, is for the Jews. It is God. And it is for humankind. For all of us, whoever you are, wherever you live, whatever your skin color, it doesn't matter. Whatever your background, intellectual background, it doesn't matter. And God is clear. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, daughter, man servant, maid servant, cattle, stranger that is within thy gates. I need you to not forget this text. Do not forget it. As we go along, we will see something. Matthew 12 verse 8. We just saw that the Sabbath is God. Is God's. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It's God's Sabbath. It belongs to God. Now we see that. What do we see? For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So who is the Lord of the Sabbath? Jesus. Because Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the one creating everything, us including. Alright? So we're talking about the Sabbath now. Come on now. The seventh year, it's not just about seventh day. There is also a seventh year. Seventh day for us to keep. It's a cycle every time, every week. It should be the same thing every year. Every 7 year, there is a seventh one. You have 7 years, and at the end of the 7 years, you have a seventh one that need to be kept, observed. And you will see who should be doing that. Let's go. Every seventh year, the earth should rest. And this is what it is all about. People are talking about the climate change. They're talking about the climate change. We need to rest. We need to do this and that. We need not to cultivate the earth as we do it every time. But there is one thing in their mind to make us keep Sunday as day of rest. But let's go by here. Every seventh year, the earth should rest along with human beings and animals. We will go to Leviticus 25, verses 2 to 4 in a second. What does it say? Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I gave you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. The land should rest. You cannot spend the whole year, first year, fifth year, seventh year, and you keep going like that. Give it a rest. That's the Bible. And we will see why. 6 years, that's verse 3, thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. 6 years. And it is not just the land, the earth that should rest. We will rest. We should rest the seventh year. Because we are not cultivating the earth anymore. Remember that back then it was just the earth. There was no computer, no smartphone, no iPad, no technology the way that we have it today. No going to a office to work. There was no such thing. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That's the word of God. All right. So there was a seventh day Sabbath. There was a seventh year Sabbath. We will be talking about another one, another Sabbath in the Bible. So when people are talking about the Bible has many Sabbaths, which one to choose? You have some texts to produce, to explain them, some of them. There's a Jubilee as well. Jubilee, seven times seven is a Jubilee. What is the Jubilee? Jubilee is the 50th year that God has given to the Israelites to set free who? Slaves, lands, and also to forgive debts. That was the main reasons for prescribing the Jubilee. All right. What is this man talking about? Seven Sabbath. And thou shalt number seven Sabbath of years unto thee. Seven times 7 years. And the space of the seven Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Somebody may say, okay, this is for people, the Israelite people, it is not for us. Yes, but we will see it is for us somehow. We will understand that God has not given it unto the people of Israel for nothing, just for them. It is for us somehow. We will see it. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet, highlight this, of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. Can somebody recall me what happens on the 7th day of the 10th month? Can somebody recall me what happens? In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout your land. What is the day of atonement? How do we call it? What is the other name for it? Nobody remembers? Yom Kippur, the day of judgment. This is the day the great high priest gets into where? the most holy place to intercede. This is the last phase of the investigative judgment. When the high priest get into the most holy place, and as I'm talking, we have one high priest. Who is that? Who is Jesus as I'm talking? No, where is Jesus? Most holy place. Doing what? Interceding. That was the day of the Jubilee. The Day of Atonement. And then, Leviticus 25 verse 10 says, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Highlight freedom, liberty. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. You remember back then, if you have a land, God has said not to sell them forever. I have given to each one of you a portion of land that you need to keep forever. If by chance you happen to be poor and you want to trade in your land, it should never be forever. Never be forever. And when you get to the 50th year, even if you paid it or somebody has paid it or not, your land needs to come back to you. That means you are completely forgiven. No more debt. Completely blotted out from the book or from the ledger. They will not see that you have owed anything. You are forgiven. Verse 11. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. That means on the 50th year, the poor can go ahead and not cultivate, reap, harvest your garden. You cannot say anything. It was prohibited from saying anything to the poor, going to your garden to when exactly? When exactly? Can somebody tell me? On the 50th year, it was a day of freedom. Last time my wife told me this week, there was a young 12 years of age, a girl who's been to Walmart, and she opens a bag that has some popsicles, something like that. Lollipops, and ate some of them, and just she went out. She didn't pay anything. And then Walmart caught her. They banned her forever. She cannot go back to Walmart. Just for taking what? A lollipop. But this is something that free, not you cannot steal. This is stealing. You don't go to Walmart. You don't go to Wegmans. You don't go anywhere to steal. But when you borrow something back then, you cannot afford to pay it. Even here in America, you know it. After 7 years that you owe something that you cannot pay it, what happens? They erase it from the three bureaus, whatever you call it, credit bureaus. They erase it after 7 years if you cannot pay it. It was in the Bible. All right. So let's go from here. We're talking about seventh day Sabbath. We're talking about seventh year Sabbath. We're talking about the fourth, seven. We have seven times seven, which is 47. And you have seven consecutive Sabbath, year Sabbath. And then you have the 40th year, which is called Jubilee. Okay, remember that the 50th year is an additional year put on top of the 49 years. After 6 days of labor, we, our children, the strangers, our flocks, and our land should rest, according to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. After each 6 years of labor, the seventh should not be used to sow. The land, the people, whoever it was, and the animals should rest. Seven times seven years equals to 49. So there are seven Sabbath in year Sabbath in 49 years, but the 50th is called Jubilee. And you have this right here. I'm not going to go through it. From creation to Abraham, you have 2,000 years, 40 Jubilee, and then to Exodus, you have another 50th Jubilee. You have the construction of the temple, another one. And then the decree to restore Jerusalem, you have another one. And then to Christ, 4,000 years after creation, you have another one, 80 Jubilees. And then at the second coming of Christ, I don't know exactly when, there will be the last Jubilee. When God will forgive every single last sin. All right, there will be joy. Let's see. On the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, this is Sister White speaking, the trumpet of the Jubilee was sounded. Throughout the land, wherever the Jewish people dwelt, the sound was heard, calling upon all the children of Jacob to welcome the year of release. If you were a slave, they would let you go. If you owed some money, they will forgive you. If you sold your property, they would give it back to you. Any sin that you have in your life would be forgiven. We just saw it. On the great Day of Atonement, satisfaction was made for the sins of Israel, and with gladness of heart, the people would welcome the Jubilee. That's what Sister White says. You may have noticed, brothers and sisters, that Jubilee coincides with the judgment day. Also, the Day of Deliverance. In reality, the ultimate Day of Deliverance is realized at the second coming of Christ. But our individual deliverance is sealed both during the Jubilee and the Great Day of Judgment. We are currently in the Great Day of Atonement, the Day of Judgment. It will be over when Sunday law is enforced in America and across the globe. We are in the very time of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last Jubilee is about to happen. This should be a time of joy for every church member across the globe. We should not be scared because of the word judgment. Judgment is not set to condemn God's children. The judgment is set to save God's children. To show that our sins have been completely blotted out from the book of sin. Why should church members be scared about judgment? Because of sin? Has Jesus not died for us? All right. So, this is the judgment seat. God is sitting right here. And this is me. You see, Jesus is putting a crown on my head. My family and you, you are right here. You see, you have already been there. God has already said, okay, you are forgiven. I see my sister right there. She has a crown on her head. And this is the last person, probably my brother, or you, my brother, right here. Jesus has said, yes, they have kept my commandments. They can go in. They can go right here. Jesus, this is God. This is the time that we were waiting for. The time of the final deliverance from sin, from all kind of problems. All right, we're going to go deep to some place. Let not your heart be troubled, said Jesus. Ye believe in me, believe also. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. How many mansions? Probably 1,000. 1,000. If it were 1,000, how many of you would be there? I would be there. I don't know. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is Jesus speaking in John 14, verses 1 to 3. Jesus is coming. People are getting resurrected. This is my son. I don't have a son. I don't know if I could get. Okay, let me take this man as my son. Getting resurrected if you were dead. People are getting caught up, going to heaven. Wow. As in the sabbatical year, the land was not to be sown or reaped, and all that it produced was to be regarded as the rightful property of the poor. Certain classes of Hebrew slaves, or who did not receive their liberty in the sabbatical year, were now set free. But that which especially distinguished the year of Jubilee was the reversion of all landed property to the family of the original possessor. All our sins will fall on whom? At the end of the day, all our sins will fall on whom? On Satan. Nobody said anything except for one person. We will say it. And it says, as the time of their probation was closing, talking about the antediluvian, the antediluvian gave themselves off to exciting amusement and festivities. Even in our church nowadays, you will see the same thing. In our church, I'm not talking about here, we don't have those things. But even in our church, you will see those things. As the time of their probation was closing, the antediluvians gave themselves up to exciting amusements and festivities. Those who possessed influence and power were bent on keeping the minds of the people engrossed with mirth and pleasure, lest any should be impressed by the last solemn warning. Do we not see the same repeated in our day? While God's servants are given the message that the end of all things is at hand, the world is not just people who are not in church. We have many people in the church that are in the world. while God's servants are giving the message that the end of all things is at hand, the world is absorbed in amusement and pleasure seeking. There is a constant round of excitement that causes indifference to God and prevents the people from being impressed by the truth which alone can save from the coming destruction. 6,000 years ago, you just saw from Adam, 6,000 years ago, the spirits, the first fallen spirits, denied the deity of Christ and placed even the Creator on a level with themselves. So if you hear about people denying the divinity attributes to Jesus Christ, this is not a new occurrence. If you see, if you hear anybody say Jesus is not God, this is not the first time that happens. It has been around for 6,000 years. The spirits deny the deity of Christ and place even the Creator, Jesus is the Creator, on a level with themselves. Thus, under new disguise, the great rebel still carries on his warfare against God, begun in heaven, and for nearly 6,000 years continued upon the earth. For 6,000 years from Adam to us, before the second coming of Christ, 6,000 years of rebellion. 6,000 years given to the devil to do whatever you want to do. Satan's work of rebellion has made the earth to tremble. He has made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. So if you see a city being destroyed by tornadoes, by floods, by earthquake, who has done that? Is it God? You said God has done that? Okay, but this is sin, a different thing. For 6,000 years, Satan's work of rebellion has made the earth to tremble. He, Satan, has made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof. Who is destroying Ukraine as I'm talking? Satan. And he opened not the house of his prisoners. For 6,000 years, his prison house has received God's people, and he would have held them captive forever. But Christ has broken his bonds and set the prisoners free when the Jubilee comes. Now, we've seen 6,000. Now, 1,000 year. For 1,000 years, Satan will wander. What does that mean? When that will happen? To and fro in the desolate earth to behold the result of his rebellion against the law of God. Can somebody tell me when that will happen? When Satan will wander to and fro in the desolate earth to behold the result of his rebellion against the law of God? After the first resurrection, good answer. After the second coming of Christ, good answer. During the 1,000 years, good answer. After the 6,000 years, since his fall, his life of unceasing activity has banished reflection. But he is now deprived of his power and left to contemplate the part which he has acted since first he rebelled against the government of heaven, and to look forward with trembling and terror to the dreadful future when he must suffer for all the evil that he has done and be punished for the sins that he has caused to be committed. All our sins will fall on him, and he will have to spend a long time in the fire. A long time for every sin that has ever been committed. My sins, oh my God. All my sins on the devil. And I'm waiting for that time. It says, and I saw, this is Revelation 20 verses 1 and 2. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. Who is the dragon? That old serpent. Who is the old serpent? Which is the devil? Who is the devil? And Satan. And bound him 1,000 years. You've got 6,000 years from the time that he started rebelling against God. And we are still in the 6,000 years. But there will be a 7,000 years where he will be inactive. No way for him to tempt anybody. How? Those who are saved are in heaven. How? Those who are lost are in the tomb. Satan cannot resurrect them. He cannot go to the tomb and make appeals on bees. Walk in the street. He cannot do anything going to and fro, contemplate what he has caused, thinking about what will happen to him soon. So I'm glad for that. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. We know that the little season that will be given to Satan will be when we come back from heaven. After 1,000 years, we come back to inhabit the earth, which will be recreated, kind of like recreation. The great controversy between Christ and Satan that has been carried forward for nearly 6,000 years is soon to close. That is the message today. The great controversy between Christ and Satan that has been carried forward for nearly 6,000 years is soon to close. And the wicked one redoubles, talking about the devil, his efforts to defeat the work of Christ in men's behalf and to fasten souls in his snares, to hold the people in darkness and impenitence till the Savior's mediation, that is what he's doing in heaven now, till the Savior's mediation is ended and there is no longer a sacrifice for sin, is the object which he seeks to accomplish, talking about the devil. He's trying to prevent us from listening to this message particularly. 6,000 plus 1,000, 7,000. 6,000 for destruction, sin prevalence, suffering, misery of all sorts, death, immorality, depravity, perversion, jealousy, covetousness, etc. 1 year to put an end. 1,000 years to put an end to that state of things. All of these will be completely destroyed at the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what happens? I said the end is here. North Korea, just last Friday, said about 800,000 students and workers on Friday have signed up for military to fight against the U.S. 800,000 in one day, last Friday, not this passing Friday. Not even talking about what China is preparing to do to the West and to America. Not even talk about Russia. Not even talk about Iran. not even talk about some other countries. The time is at hand. And this is predicted in the Bible. What happens in between Russia and Ukraine? The number of Russian troops killed and wounded in Ukraine is approaching 200,000. When? February 2. Who said that? The New York Times. And Ukraine itself has lost about the same number of people in about 1 year of war. The end is near. The substitution of the laws of man for the law of God, the exaltation by merely human authority of Sunday in place of the Bible Sabbath, which is Saturday, is the last act in the drama. What is the last act in the drama? Substitution of the Sabbath to what? Sunday. Who will bring it up front? The churches. Catholic Church, Protestant churches, and even some Seventh-day Adventists. And the state will accept to vote that law. And everybody will be forced to accept it. When this substitution becomes universal, God will reveal himself. He will arise in his majesty to shake terribly the earth. He will come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the world for their iniquity, and the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her sin. God is saying that he will kill. It is not just you killing. I will kill as well. I will kill as well. In my last wrath, I will kill. I'm just telling you. Keep doing what you're doing. Do not obey me. Do not follow my commandments. And then at the end of the day, you will understand what I was talking about. When I sent my messengers to talk to you, you stop your ears. Now you will hear. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour. I think that somebody knows what an hour means in Bible prophecy. An hour. I mean half an hour. If you know an hour, you know half an hour. An hour. I'm not going to do the math for you. An hour is 15 days. Half an hour is what? An hour is 2 weeks. Okay, to be clear. An hour is 2 weeks. Half an hour is what?
Seven.
Yeah, my son. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Let's go. Let's go a little bit faster. And swear by him that lived forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. I don't want to talk too much about this, but this is talking about after 1844, October 22nd, 1844, there would be no time setting. You cannot put a date on any prophecy to be fulfilled. That's exactly what this is talking about. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And Jesus will come, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets, Revelation 10, verses 6 and 7. The reign of Christ is at hand. And the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven. We will hear great voices from heaven. Everyone who will be alive, when that happens, we will hear it. Voices, great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Jesus is about to come. And of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell down on their faces and worshiped God. Now we don't want to do that. Some people don't even want to kneel before God. 24 elders. 24 elders fell down to worship God. Face down. In humility. These are powerful beings. Extraordinary powerful beings. But still, every time, to worship God. Wow. Saying, we give thanks. This is what they're saying. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Jesus will reign forever when that happens. Revelation 11, verse 17. The great power. I've been thinking about great power. You put all the powers of the world together. They cannot compare with the great power. Actually, those are not even powers. Those are not even powers. And the nations were angry. Ah, this is what we see now. Nations were angry. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, beginning from October 22nd, 1844. The dead are being judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets. Sister White is one of them. And to the saints, we are the saints. Revelation, Genesis, Daniel 7, 7 verse 25. Talking about the saints. In Revelation 12 verse 17, if I'm not mistaken, those that keep the commandments of God are the saints. And them that fear thy name, those that fear the name of the Lord are those that keep the commandment of God also. Small and great, whether you be rich or poor, intellectual or not intellectual, or man or I don't care. And the saints and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. God will destroy those that destroy the earth now. It's not when we cultivate the earth, but those who make war against each other with big bombs, destroying cities, destroying people by thousands, these will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. And the temple of God was open in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. When you talk about the ark of the testament, what are you talking about? You have the ark. Inside of the ark, at least you will see three things. And I'm giving you two. Give me two. The Ten Commandments. This is Revelation 11, verse 19. Yes, you got it.
And Moses' rod.
Exactly, those three. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark. People are saying that the Ten Commandments are done away with, but the Bible says they're still there. And there were lightnings, voices, thunderings, earthquake on earthquake. There will be one, not the one that happened in Turkey about 2 months ago, where about 50,000 people died. But there was one in Haiti, about 300,000 died. January 10th, 2010. There will be one last earthquake. What will happen when that happens? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Amen. He will come in the cloud. Who will come in the cloud? Jesus. Is cloud or what? Is it symbolic or what? Cloud. Is it symbolic or not? It's not? Real cloud. Those are angels. Those are angels. I'm not going to talk about it, but because I didn't think about asking that question. Angels. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Those who crucified Jesus Christ will get resurrected to see Jesus coming down from heaven. Those who nailed him, who put the crown on his head, they will have to get resurrected in a special resurrection to see Jesus. For this way, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Will everybody die before Jesus comes? No. Not everybody will die. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the angel, archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. If somebody dies today in the church, a servant of the Lord, man servant or maid servant of the Lord, he will get resurrected right there. Woo. Then we which are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be ever. Shall we ever be with the Lord? Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. Because in my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And when I'm done preparing the place for you, I will come again to get you. So that wherever I am, there you will be also. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. When the protection of human laws shall be withdrawn from those who honor the law of God, there will be in different lands a simultaneous movement for their destruction. As the time appointed in the decree draws near, the people will conspire to root out the heretic. It will be determined to strike in one night. It will be determined to strike in one night, not one day, at night. A decisive blow which shall utterly silence the voice of dissent and reproof. When Sunday law is enforced, it's not going to be very sweet. It's going to be bitter. Salty. We will not be able to come here. We will have to flee away. And they will go after us to kill. Wow. It is at midnight we just saw one night. One night they will set aside to kill us. And Sister White said, it is at midnight that God manifests his power for the deliverance of his people. The sun appears. If it were daytime, she would not even say the sun appears. Because it's nighttime, it says, the sun appears shining in its strength. Signs and wonders follow in quick succession. The wicked look with terror and amazement upon the scene, while the righteous behold with solemn joy the tokens of their deliverance. Everything in nature seems turned out of its course. The streams cease to flow. Can you imagine seeing the rivers stop? They stop running down. Can you imagine that? The streams, where is it? The streams cease to flow. Dark, heavy clouds come up and clash against each other. In the midst of the angry heavens is one clear space of indescribable glory, whence comes the voice of God like the sounds of many waters saying, it is done. It is done. So God will manifest his wrath. That voice shakes the heavens and the earth. There is a mighty earthquake. I just showed you in Revelation. There will be a mighty earthquake. There is a mighty earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Revelation 16. The firmament appears to open and shut. The glory from the throne of God seems flashing. Jesus is not coming yet. He is not coming yet. This is not the scenes of his coming. This is a scene coming just before he comes. The firmament appears to open and shut. The glory from the throne of God seems flashing through. The mountains shake like a reed in the wind. And rage rocks are scattered on every side. There is a roar as a coming tempest. The sea is lashed into fury. There is heard a shriek of a hurricane like the voice of demons upon a mission of destruction. The whole earth heaves and swells like the waves of the sea. Just before Jesus comes. And in that earthquake, what will happen? Everyone who died in Christ will get resurrected from, Sister White, from 1844 to our time. Everyone who died in Christ will get resurrected right there. If I die, I will get resurrected. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it says, we almost through, eh? Its surface, talking about the earth, is breaking up. Its very foundation seems to be giving way. Mountain chains are sinking. Inhabited islands disappear. That's why when my daughter say, Dad, do you want to go to live in Puerto Rico? I say, no, I don't think so. Puerto Rico is an island. Dad, do you want to go back to Haiti? No. Haiti is an island. I will not. I stay here. I will go to Canada, probably to Mexico, to Greatland, but the small ones? No, not me. I'm not saying that everybody will die, but hey, mountain chains are sinking. Inhabitant islands disappear. The seaports that have become like Sodom. Like Sodom. What does that remind you? Thank you. For wickedness are swallowed up by the angry waters. Babylon the Great has come in God's remembrance. Who is Babylon the Great? Catholic Church. You don't have to tell me. You will waste my time. Babylon the Great is Catholic Church. The Great has come in remembrance before God. to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Great hailstones, every about the weight of eternity. This is the last plague, actually, are doing their work of destruction. The proudest cities, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, give me some great cities, Paris, Yeah, California is the state. Yes, great cities. Give me some more. Las Vegas, Chicago. Those, San Francisco. Those proudest cities. Where am I? Okay. Everyone about the world are doing their work of destruction. The proudest cities of the earth are laid low. The lordly palaces upon which the world's great men have lavished their wealth in order to glorify themselves are crumbling to ruin before their eyes. Prison's walls are rent asunder, and God's people who have been held in bondage for their faith are set free. Amen. We will be in jail, but we will get set free. We will, by God's grace. Graves are open. Wow, in the earthquake. Graves are open. I showed you one of these pictures. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth awake some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is the special resurrection. Jesus is not here yet. Daniel 12, verse 2. All who have died in the faith of the third angel's message. When you talk about third angel's message, you're talking about the three angels' messages. Come forth from the tomb, glorified, to hear God's covenant of peace with those who have kept his law. Do not be tired keeping the law of God. There will be blessings bestowed upon you before Jesus comes. They also pierce, which pierce him, will get resurrected. Those that mocked and derided Christ's dying agonies, and the most violent opposers of his truth and his people, are raised to behold him in his glory and to see the honor placed upon the loyal and obedient. Yeah. Are you aware, brothers and sisters, of the imminence of the second coming of Christ? Do you have a strong desire to engage in the preaching of the present truth so to hasten the second coming of Christ? Will you be there for the millennium in heaven with God, the angels, and the redeemed of all ages? This is the reason of the message, that we need to be ready. Brethren, our redemption is very nigh. Let us not sleep. The day is far spent. The seventh millennium, starting from the second coming of Christ, is soon to break upon us. Let us be ready and remain ready to see the Lord in his glory. If we see him in his glory and survive, we are then saved forever. God bless his people. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for manifesting your presence as we ask at the beginning of this worship service in our midst. Yes, you did. And I'm asking you to continue to be with us, to guide us, and to allow us to see the time we live in, that we may be ready before the judgment is ended. Bless your church. Send us away with the presence of your Holy Spirit and angels. This I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.